Why so far away?
Gimel de Chanukah, Koch Zayin Kislev, Friday the 23rd of December, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, Enlightening.
Good morning, everybody. A happy Chanukah. You know, to be early here at 8:30 in the morning in Chanukah, that means you're done with already with Hallel and Kriyas HaTorah in an early morning, Kol HaKavod. So it shows that even Chanukah is a holiday time. It's a time that we still try to aspire to grow. They say, the Hasidim say, Mai Chanukah. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, what's Chanukah? And the Gemara goes and explaining, but you stop there. Mai Chanukah, the Tanu Rabbanan. You gotta learn. Chanukah is about learning. Okay. So there's many, many aspects about Chanukah, which let's try to touch upon. One theme, which we might have spoke about in the past, but let's develop it today to something on a higher level. The Maral wrote a sefer on Chanukah. Anybody knows the name of the sefer? Ner Mitzvah. That's what it's about. Ner Mitzvah. And in a very uncharacteristic way, he sums up Chanukah through gematrias, through a numerical, four numerical values. That's not usually the Maral style. And he says like this, the Yevonim defiled the Heichal. You know why? What is the numerical value of Heichal? Hey, my friend from Heichal and us? Well, we got a beer. What's the numerical value of Heichal? 65. What's the numerical value of Yevon? No? Nice try. 66. Oh, 66 has an edge over 65. Therefore, they could defile the Heichal. Because you know, it's a close match, but nevertheless, 66, 65, 66 wins. And therefore, they could defile the Heichal. However, since the Heichal has under the hay the Nikud of a Tseireh, which is called Tenua Gdela, so the Maral understands that there's always a hidden hay, a hidden Yud, whenever you say a tzeirah, like in the Ashkenazi pronunciation, we say heichal. Even though there is another yud there, here comes another yud. There's a hidden yud there, which upgrades heichal after adding this letter yud to 75. So meaning there's an aspect in the heichal which is beyond the grasp of the Yevanim. And that is the numerical value of kohen. Kohen is 75. That's what the Maral says, meaning four gematrias. Heichal without the Yod is 65. Yavan is 66. Yavan wins. But there's a hidden Yod in Heichal, which is not seen, but it's there, which upgrades the Heichal to 75, which is equivalent to the numerical value of Koyen. And Koyen is 75, and that the Yavanim cannot reach. And that's a come there was a vessel of oil signed and sealed by the Kohen Gadol, which remained pure because the Yevanim cannot reach the 75. What does this mean? Can I say over this Maral to some intelligent secular Jew? No, it's not. No. But I want to show you that he's saying really something amazing. We're going to focus today, we'll start with the 75, which we spoke about once, and then we'll go to the other gematrias as well. When the Maral says that Kohen is gematria 75, the question is, what does he have in mind? So this really leads us to another issue. As we see, Chanukah was done by the Kohanim. No? Ah! Chanukah was done by the Kohanim. Right? Does this play an intrinsic role? That Chanukah was done by Kohanim? Well, it's almost three. There's Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael. It was done by Kohanim. So, no, for sure. The fact that it was done by Kohanim is something intrinsic to what Chanukah is all about. How do you know? When we light the candles, we say, Ayidei Kohanecha HaGdoshim. We're making a point that this was done, this miracle, through Kohanim. Kohanecha HaGdoshim, we had. If it wasn't important, you wouldn't mention it. You don't mention what color eyes they had. You don't mention what their height was. Which is not something which is not important, you don't mention. And here that you make a point that it's done, That means that Hanukkah had to be triggered off by Kohanim. Furthermore, or in England they say, moreover, that's what they say here, moreover, the Ramban learns in the Parshas Ba'alaisa that when Aaron HaKohen was disappointed they did not participate in the Hanukkah of the Nesim at the time of the Mishkan, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensated him and said, don't worry, you blew it on this one, but 1,000 years later, your tribe is going to bring off another kind of Hanukkah, which is the Hanukkah of Cheshvanayim. The Ramban brings in the beginning of Parshas Ba'alaisa. If it's told 1,000 years in advance, your children are going to make this Hanukkah, that means, again, this is how it had to be. If it's by random, you wouldn't make an issue 1,000 years in advance about a random point. So this again is showing that Hanukkah had to be done by Kohanim. And here comes the question, what's Kuhuna Dik about Hanukkah? Or what's Hanukkah Dik about Kuhuna? What is it? So that's question number two. And the last question, meaning what I want to take it from here is focusing into kahuna. What is the definition of kahuna? Let's call that our next question. What are the Kohanim all about? So the Maharal says in a few places, if we'll make a summary of what he says in a variety of places, it comes out, the Kohanim are the intermediators between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They bring our korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they bring Birkas Kohanim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. They're on that middle point between us and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Kaf Beis has a suffix, are Kohanim called Shluchei Didan or Shluchei Derachmana? Are they agents of us or agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Maharsha on the spot there. They're definitely both. Just the suffix of the Gemara is, what are they more? Are they more leaning to our side or more leaning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side? But they're definitely both. And that's what the Maharsha says over there in Kiddushin. The answer of Tesis Kasha. So Kohanim, where does the Maharal say this idea? As you see, the Maharal says it loud and clear. The Maharal says it in one case where we learn at the end of Parshas Shmos that when Moshe Rabbeinu continuously refused to go to Paro, so it says Vayichar Af Hashem, says Rashi, Omer Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, wherever it says that Kodesh Baruch got angry, there's repercussions. Here, this doesn't go by without, here you don't turn a blind eye. Wherever it says that Kodesh Baruch got angry, there's a punishment that comes together with it. What's the punishment? Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu was planned to be the Kohen. But since Moshe Rabbeinu refused to go to do this job, he was disqualified of being a Kohen. That's what Rashi says. That's the Gemara in Zvachim. Asks the Maharal on the spot, what's the Midah Keneged Midah? Over there in the Gurai, he asks it. What's the Midah Keneged Midah? You don't want to go speak to Paro? You're going to be disqualified as a Kohen? Ma Kesher answers the Maharal exactly this point. You were asked to go represent the Jewish people to be their spokesman on their behalf, and you refused. That means you're not cut out to be a Shaliach. Because if you'd be cut out of it, you'd go do it. So therefore, you'll be disqualified from being a shaliach in another area, and that is the area of Kuhuna. That's one maral in the Gerari and Parshas Shmos. There's another maral that says it also in the Gerari and Parshas Nasai. Here, but let me give you an illustration. Let me show it to you now in this room how everything is totally b'mazel, even Sefer Torah Shebe'echol. Everybody knows what follows after Parshas Nasai. Saita. Why? I'm sorry, it's the opposite order. What follows after Saita, I'm sorry, follows Nazir. Why? So therefore, first comes Saita, and then comes Nazir. What preceded the Parsha of Saita? And also, there's a Rashi that explains why they're juxtaposed to each other. But this is less known. I don't know why. The one that once there's a Saita is followed by Nazir, yeah, that's a Rashi, we all know it. Fine. What was the parsha before Saita? I don't remember. Also, there's a Rashi. It's a somewhat of Matnas Kuhuna. Giving Matnas Kuhuna to the Kohen. Yishas Kadosh Lo Yeh. And then comes the parsha of Saita. Says Rashi, if someone refuses to give matnas kuhuna, he will have to bring his wife as a seita to the kohen. That's what Rashi says there. Says over there again the maral. Why? What's the midah, keneged midah? Says the kohen gets matnas kuhuna because he's doing a very important job. He's making shalom between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is similar to a wife and a husband. And he says, all share a share, explains this relationship. If someone's not willing to give matnas kuhuna to a kohen, so what is he actually saying? What is he actually saying that what? I don't need you to make shalom between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to show him in his own backyard the need of the kohen to make shalom between him and his wife. That's what the maral says there on the spot. Again, bringing up the idea that what is the job of the kohen being the intermediator between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? This could be illustrated, Rabbi Sai, in another way. If all the Jewish people would be one person, so various limbs represent various jobs. The lev represents the melech. The eyes represent the Sanhedrin. They're called Eina Aida. Rabbi, let's be awake. Come on. We came early to learn. Eina Aida. What would represent the Kohanim? The forehead. Why? Because behind the forehead is the brain. And in the brain is the neshama. And neshama and Kohanim, they all have to do with each other. Holy Kohanim. That's what the Maral says in the Chiddush HaGodes and Maseches Kiddushin. That's like the coin puts the tzitz that says on it, Kodesh LaHashem, on his forehead. You know there were two kind of characters that argued on Kohuna in Tanakh? One is Korach, and what's the other one? Again, not that known, but Rashi quotes it in Pashas Korach. Who was the other one? Uzziah HaMelech. That he offered a k'tiris. Rashi brings it to Bar Yomim. And he got leprosy as a result. Because Rashi learns from him, kol ha'cholek al kohuna loike b'tzaras. You know where you got the tzaras? V'ineh tzaras zarcha b'mitzvay. That's what it says. Usually the Tanakh doesn't elaborate where the tzaras hit. Here it says. It shined on his forehead. According to the Maral, it's zeil geshmach. Zeil geshmach. Why? Because since the kahuna is represented by a forehead, and he's arguing on kahuna, so he's got the tzaras, what represents kahuna. I said this over once to Reb Chaim Kreisenzatzal, and he gave me a kiss on my forehead. That's what he wanted to make a point. So that's a good shot. That's a good shot. Okay. That's my Maral in one place. There's a Maral in another place, though. On the Mishnah Derech Chaim of Shlosha Ksarim Hem, Kesetera, Kesekuhuna, and Kesemachos. Now in that order, and the Maral says that the three Ksarim are parallel to the three layers that every person has in his own self-world. We have a Guf, we have a Nefesh, we have a Neshama. And the Kohanim are singled out to represent the Guf of Am Yisrael. That through them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out one tribe out of Am Yisrael by saying, hey, there's Kohanim, and they're going to illustrate how even the goof of Am Yisrael is holy. Like the coat of a Sefer Torah, it's holy. And the Kohanim were chosen to illustrate that even the body of Yidden is holy and Kadosh. What's goofy about Kohanim? How do you see Kohanim represent the goof? You know, by the way, there were studies made a few years ago that they found that they have special chromosomes, the Kohanim, which very much fits into what the Maral is saying. What's goofy about Kohanim? What would you say? How do you see that it has to do with the goof? Okay, not everybody at once. Lad. The hands, okay.
They have to eat the
korbanos. They have to eat the korbanos, okay.
They do the physical
avoda. Okay. I want something more. All what you're saying is true, but meh. What? I should say it. I want to wake up the oilam because the truth is I'm also tired. I'm so jealous that they're sleeping. That's why. It's Pashat Kina. Rabbi Sai. What? There's two beautiful, I guess, the blemishes disqualify a kohen. Since when do physical blemishes disqualify anybody in Judaism? If a rav has a blemish, could it be a rav? For sure. If a chazan has a physical blemish, could it be a chazan? The Mishabur says he's a better chazan. He has a broken heart. And all areas of Judaism, a Sanhedrin is a special din. But normally speaking, there's no mumim that disqualifies someone. Certainly when it comes to Kohanim, if he has a physical limitation, mum hu lo yiratze. What happened? We became Sparta? What happened? Obviously the answer is, of course you're not going to disqualify a human being based on blemishes. Chas v'shalom. But it's a disadvantage of the goof. That for sure it is. It's not a disqualification for the human being, but it's a disqualification for the goof. And since Kohanim have to represent the goof, therefore moving disqualified. You know, there's a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos Daf Ayin Beis, the Maharal quotes it, and which says, if a person gets married to a woman and he finds that she has a kind of blemish that they didn't know before, so it could be even called the Mekachtos. You don't even need a get. It's a mistake. What mumim are there? How do you define it? Says the Gemara, kol ha-mumim ha-poislim b'kohanim, poislim b'nashim. That's the yardstick. Whatever disqualifies a kohen is a mekachtos for marriage. So ask the Gemara, what's the kesher between marriage and kohanim? But since the isha is the yofi is the guf, right? Mimela, you can learn it from kohanim. Those tzushtels that the Gemara makes, that he was second to none on these parallels. That boom! That tzushtel of the Gemara Ksuvos. And Daf Ayin Beis. Okay, and the fact that Kohuna is totally unwearing clothes? Bizman shebigdeyam aleim kuhunasam aleim. Ein bigdeyam aleim, ein kuhunasam aleim. All illustrates the one point, that it has to do with the goof. So isn't there a contradiction here between the two marals? The maral, Kiddush HaGodes and Kiddushin, says that the Kohanim represent Neshama. The forehead. Tzara Zocha B'mitzchoy. Etc, etc. Then the maral in Derech Chaim says the Kohanim represent the goof. It's the goofy part. That's come as a keser, an apparent contradiction. But no, if you look carefully in the words of the Maral, he's saying the same thing really actually twice. He never said Kohanim on neshama. He said they're the moyach asher bo haneshama. It's a brain which entertains the neshama, right? A brain is physical. Also, animals have a brain. He never said Kohanim are goof. He says Kohanim are gedushas aguf, meaning again where the physical and spiritual meet. That's what the Kohanim are all about. Anybody here a Kohen? Yeah. Oh, right? That's what it's about. Rabbi said there's another place in our inner world that Kohanim, that the physical and spiritual meet. In our brain where the neshama is, as we pointed out. And another place. Let's talk it out. Let's speak about it. What am I referring to? Speech. Speech. Speech has to do again that the guf and the neshama meet. How do you know? It says in the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took afo min ha'adama and he pumped into it. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. And what happened as a result of this first shidduch that took place in the bria of guf and neshama? There's an offspring. What's the offspring? Vayadam nefesh chaya says unkel as he started to speak. He started to speak. So meaning speech is also an offspring of the combination of the Neshama and Guf. So there has to be a relationship between Kohuna and speech. Has to be. Because if Kohanim is all about where they meet, and they also meet in the speech, so there has to be some kind of intrinsic relationship between the Neshama, between Kohanim and Dibor. Can anybody tell me where? He has to decide about Saras, and Saras comes because of Lashon Hara.
He has to say,
Tumit, good. Where else do you see it? Kohanim have to do with Dibur. It's brachas, we all do brachas. It's a pasuk though. Ki sif se koyen yishmu ras yivakshu Torah mepiu amaf. Furthermore, when did Moshe Rabbeinu lose the kohuna? When he refused to become a spokesman. And when did Aaron get the kuhuna? Because he was a spokesman. So kuhuna has to do with speech. But I would like to add something that I just feel. Obviously I can't prove it. Let's learn. No phones, no sleeping. Come on, Chavre. I'm a teacher. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not a lecturer. Okay, no phones, no sleeping. We're going to learn now. Okay? Another 10 minutes, we'll finish. Okay? Good. Who's the last one who taught us how to speak? Who's the last Jew who taught Am Yisrael how to speak? The Chofetz Chaim. And what was he?
A Kohen.
You think it's a coincidence? That the Yid that taught Am Yisrael the Kohen was a Kohen? It's pasha to me, it's not a coincidence. I can't prove it to Chazal, because he only died in 1933. So I can't prove it. But by mir, it's pashat that the Jew who taught Am Yisrael how to talk was HaKoyen HaGodol Me'echov, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKoyen Miradin. No coincidence. Pashat. So Kohanim are on this middle point between the physical and spiritual, the guf and the neshama, Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Kohanim are all about. Now, which number represents the physical world?
Seven.
Right? Or 70 for that matter. How do you see? The 7 days of the week? 70 nations? That's like the nations that got Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. What?
Rainbow music.
Seven is the world, the Shefa of the Bria. That's like the word Sheva has to do with Shefa, which means the abundance of the physical world is seven. Right? The Ramban says that bet and pay are interchangeable. On the Shefta Buchek Samiyam, right? That's the number 7 or 70 for that matter. What? What number represents the cut above that? 8. 8 or 80. What do you see? The Bris Mila is on the 8th day. Again, the Ramban says the Chiddush HaGodos in the Dharm. You know what he says? If the 8th day of Mila falls on Shabbos, it pushes off Shabbos. Because we learn Pesukim, the Mila on the 8th day is Lecha Shabbos. Says, you know what's the inner understanding of it? The Kedusha of 8 overrides the Kedusha of 7. That's what he says. Now, if the Kohen's job is to connect the 7 with the 8 and the 8 with the 7, what should be his number? 7.5. Right? That's what the Rambam means. The Kohen's Gematria is 75. Ooh, Geshmak! Geshmak Avoisai! So when the Rambam says that Kohen's Gematria is 75, this will make your day. Nachon? Okay, good. That why? That's going to make it that. Why? 75. When the Rambam says the coin is 75, he means to say when the 7 and 8 meet. There's no number called 7.5, so he's calling it 75. But Pashat, that's what he means. How do I know that's what he means? Because elsewhere, in the Sefer Or Chodesh and Purim, he brings a chazal that says, and this may ruin a little bit of our Purim, that Esther was at the age of 75. Oh, really? That changes the whole Purim. She was 75? Says the Rambam, no. She was younger. But she was, not good. She had the Madrega of 75. Says, and what's the Madrega of 75? Connecting the Chol with the Kodesh. And then he goes on and adds, in the name of Chazal, Gavaldika insight. Who's the first one that connected the physical and spiritual worlds? Avraham Avinu. And what does it say about him? Avraham ben Chamesh b'shivim shana b'tzei somichan. He was 75 years old when he started his journey. Again, the Torah doesn't usually give information stam. How old was Yaakov Avinu when he left? We need a whole Amud in the Maseches Megillah to figure out the various ages. But here the Torah says openly that Avraham was 75. And Avraham is called the first Kohen. Gemara in the Dorm, Daflam and Beis. Avraham Avinu is called the Kohen. Gemara in the Dorm, Daflam and Beis. So again, you see this Nekuda, those who connect the physical with the spiritual, that is the Madrega of Kohuna. Nahon? That's what it's all about. Now let's go to the Inyan over what happened here in Chanukah. The Yevanim are the ones that represent totally a different outlook. The Ramban in Pashas Achrei Mois in Perek Tev Zayin at the end of Pasuk Ches says, he gives a definition to what Chochmas Yom is about. Shehigistato Sheikhish kol davar Zulati hamurgashlo. He denied everything but the tangible. Yavan are the ones that are saying what you see is what you got. Clearly implying what you don't see, you don't got. What you see is scientific. I could take it to a laboratory. It's great. But whatever you don't see, it's not real. It's not real. That's what the Yavanim say. That's how the Ramban defines it. And that's like when he told us, Kisru lechem al keren ashor, right on the ox, on a horn of an ox. What did they say? Ein lechem chelek ve'elokei Yisrael. Why did he tell us to write on the horn of an ox? Why not on a piece of paper? Says the Ma'al Nemetzah, they're goring us. He's literally goring Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is called Ashur. Why do they want Dafka from Chet HaEgel? Chet HaEgel we did because we wanted something tangible. So the Kohanim, the Yevanim said, you see, you're also like us. You did HaEgel. 40 days on the mountain prayer. You did HaEgel. Why? Why? Why did you do HaEgel? Because he needs something tangible. So you're also like us. That you can only connect to something which is tangible. But we did Shimon Chet HaEgel. But that was their point. So the Yevanim represent the outlook that what you see is what you got. And whatever you don't see, disregard. But there's another expression in English. There's a lot more than what meets the eye. Ooh, how do you reconcile these two? One says what you see is what you got. And the other one says there's a lot more than what meets the eye. It's a contradiction, no? It is. Right? There's a contradiction there. But the real answer is the first one's Yavan, the second one's Yisrael. I'm Yisrael, especially the Kohanim are the ones saying, whatever you see here is important, but it's the last link on a long chain. It all goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't see him, but he's there. The Kohanim are the ones that show that you see the physical world, which is number 7, but connect it to the 8. Go beyond what you could see. That's the Kohanim. The Yevanim say, no, what you see is what you got. So the ones who are going to be the ones waging a war against the outlook of Yavan will be the Kohanim. That by them, the 75, it's real, the number 8, the number 7, and they're connecting both worlds. Whilst the Levanim are saying, what you see is what you got. Therefore, Hanukkah had to be done by Kohanim. Why? Because they're really the antithesis to what Yavan stands for. Now the truth of the matter is, of course, all of us are Kohanim. Because it says, "Atem tiyuli mamleches koyanim v'goy kadosh." We're all called Kohanim. Because that's what Judaism is all about. What does Judaism say? There is a physical world, it's all very true, but the real thing is what you don't see, which is named HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Judaism says. So that's the struggle between Yavan and Yisrael, which was personified by the Kohanim, which represents the number 75. Now, I just want to conclude. It's connected in these days of the holy days of Hanukkah to internalize this message. There's a lot more than what meets the eye. I could show you that unfortunately we from Jews were very influenced by the Yavan outlook. Let me give you 2-3 examples. There's a simcha in the family. The daughter got engaged. Mazel tov. They're having an engagement party tonight. Mazel tov. They need someone to come home to schlep the benches and to organize the engagement party. They have 2 sons. One is a lawyer who makes £400 an hour. The other is a yeshiva bacher. Who are they going to ask to come home to schlep the benches? The lawyer or the yeshiva bacher? Of course, the yeshiva bacher. Why? The lawyer makes money. Hey, what about the yeshiva bacher? He'll make it up later. It's a mitzvah. Maybe the lawyer will make it up later. No, that's other money. Every hour has its money. You know, also every hour has its listen to her. That's Yavam. That, of course I'm not going to call the lawyer. He makes money. Oh, the first thing that we cancel when things get busy, the share, the chavrusa. If you would have a chashava meaning that you make £50, would you cancel them as easy also? No, that's £50. £50 is £50. But Tyra, no. That's Yavan. This is all Yavan. That we adore what's tangible. You know how many times it happens in my school? That I ask a boy, where were you today? How come you didn't come? I had to take my little sister to school. Oh, very nice. What happened? What about your sister? How come she couldn't take it? She had work to go to. Ah, and your parents? No, they also have work. And you? No, I'm just davening. It's okay. It's not that important. This happens day in, day out. Work? No, you gotta go. Davening? Learning? Nah. You'll stay home to take the little sister to school. This happens constantly. But what about the Pasuk of Tehillim? Toivli, Toiras Pehicha, Me Alfei Zav Bekesef? Yeah, it's a song. It's not real. Alfei Zav Bekesef, says David HaMelech. Do you know how much mitzvahs you make one per minute when you learn Torah? The Chofetz Chaim figured it out. 200 mitzvahs esa for learning Torah a minute. If you learn an hour, it's 12,000 mitzvahs esek. Then on each and every one of them it says the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. We learned now a half an hour. We pocketed now 6,000 mitzvahs esek. for a half an hour? Could you imagine what's happening? It's not tangible. I don't see with my eyes. I don't see with my eyes. You could cancel half an hour. No big deal. Cancel the learning. It's okay. But we won't treat it if it would be 10 pounds. 10 pounds. You see how I'm going down the numbers? From 500 to 50 to 10. I promise you. You know what? When it comes to davening, whatever, if we would make a new system, everybody who comes davening gets 2 pounds. I'm down to two. And throughout the week, we'd have a lot of people coming. It's 2 pounds. What, davening? No. Of course, I want to conclude. Once there was a gvir in São Paulo that told me, I need mezuzahs for my house. I'm doing a Chanukah Sabbais. I said, really? How many mezuzahs do you need? 50. He needs 50 doors in his house. Wow, what a mansion. I said, okay, I'll try to get a few from Eretz Yisrael. So, by the way, I forgot to ask the most important question. How much do the mezuzahs cost? I said, I don't know. I think $50. A good mezuzah is $50. $50? I could buy him in São Paulo for 20. Thank you. I'm not interested. I'm staying with my 20. Okay. So I asked him afterwards, do you mind if I'll be a little bit chutzpahdik? You know, by the way, whenever you ask for shoes to be chutzpahdik, you usually get it. But they'll tell you, no. You'll see. Do you mind if I'll be a little bit chutzpahdik? Yeah. How much did you pay for the handles on the door? My wife's an architect, so I know a little bit about these things. How much did you pay for the handles? He didn't see where I'm going at. He says, handles? They're Swiss made. $200 a pair. Tell me, you're willing to pay for handles $200 and for mezuzah only 20? Why? So why should I pay more than 20? I can get it for 20. You can get handles for $5. So why are you paying 200? I don't think it's a fair comparison, and he walked off. But I'll tell you the answer. Handles you see, it's tangible. I could show my friend how rich I am. But the mezuzah inside? Who cares? No one sees it. 20, 50, as long as it's kosher. By the way, the outside box of the mezuzah I'm going to make from silver. Yeah, because again, they can see it. If it's tangible, it's chashuv. If it's not so tangible, who cares? A big gvir walks into the shul. What do people start saying? You see he walked in? Do you know how much he's worth? A big talmid chacham walks into the shul. Another shnor? That's what it says. These are all expressions that we, from Yidden, we're so impressed with what's tangible and less impressed with what's not tangible. Here, Chanukah is telling us, don't look at the world that way. Whatever's tangible is chashuv. But what's not tangible is even more chashuv. And treat your avodas Hashem, and treat your davening, and treat your learning as real as possible, as if it's $500. An hour learning is worth 500 pounds. You'll see no one would cancel an hour learning that. Nobody would. Treat it as something tangible, and you're going to see that our life will become so much more inspiring and so much more meaningful. We shall all be zeiche to have a freilich Chanukah, and I want to ask slicha mechila on the gezel sheina that I caused this morning. Call to the voice.